Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to a very special end of year waffle. I haven't done this for a while, so it's a little bit nerve-wracking. I feel like I'm out of the swing of things, but it's good to be back behind a mic. I already feel a little bit lighter. Today I'm joined by Luke Evans, who is probably one of the best things that's come out of 2023 for me, because it's been fucking horrendous. But thank you for joining me for my end of year special.
I'm honoured. Privileged.
Who are you?
I am Luke Evans. Unique Productions is our company. We've obviously started a really good relationship this year, a friendship. We've got a professional kind of relationship that's starting to blossom really nicely. And like you say, it's probably one of the best things to come out of this year. That's what I do. We do video production, photography, animation. You obviously do podcasts. There's a lot of synergy. And like you say, it's been a...
Well, it sounds all very sales pitchy now.
I know, it's been a tough year. I'm moving away from that quickly. It's been a tough year.
But it is. And I think, we're very... I think from the kind of minute that we met, there was obviously a lot of kind of similarities and a lot of energy there that were there's something there that's kind of build on that. And obviously at that time when we met, we didn't know it was going to turn into what it has turned into now, which we'll get into obviously later on in the episode. But it's a good way to end the year,
massively.
I think, considering the absolute shit show that has been, but it's nice to be kind of ended on a high.
I'm glad you swore, because I didn't know whether it was a swearing situation we could do, but the start of the year, I think the first 4 months just bordered into five were shit. Were crap. But I never lost faith, weirdly, although it was on the ground. But then you get to the week before you break up, Christmas or going on holiday or whatever, you always try and ram things in. And this week has been a wrapping up of really big things for me and for you. So we can go into a fresh start.
I hope by wrapping big things you're talking about my Christmas present.
No, sorry.
No, don't. But no, I agree. And it's really nice. But to be fair, it's quite a nice little segment into how each one of my episodes actually starts, which is something called the Weekly Waffle, which is a chance for myself and my guests to get something off their chest that is quite frankly pissed us off, in the hope that it makes us feel better.
Okay. The whole year? Out of the whole year?
The whole year.
Right, okay.
So what's pissed you off this year?
We've already mentioned the start of the year, so I won't say that again. But I think the summer... The lack of summer we had really pissed me off, because in England, you get a couple of weeks, but we really had a really short actual summer. It feels like I didn't go on holiday until September, and it is in the UK. We got really lucky actually with the weather, so I had to kind of wait until that week for it to feel like a summer. Yeah. So all of like May, June, July, August, when, and that does stuff to you, doesn't it?
No, it does. It's because it's like you need the sunlight. You need the vitamin D.
Yeah.
Does that come from the sun?
I think so.
Yeah. Or no, C's from oranges.
Yeah, it's not C, but I think it's from the D. Yeah, but it does give you that whole energy and positive kind of, energy, basically.
But I think it also lets you appreciate like winter, and then when it gets kind of, people get kind of sick of winter, and it's like, oh, but summer's on its way. So then when you don't have that, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So yeah, no,
and then
I
it never came.
That. Yeah.
What about you? What was your big piss off?
Ice baths.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like, we talk about mental health a lot on the show, and I feel like there's a lot of stigma, obviously, when it comes to the mental health conversation. But at the moment, I seem to be having conversations that because I'm not in an ice bath, I'm doing something wrong when it comes to like my mental health. And if it works for you, fine. But I don't want to sit in a freezing cold bath for like minutes on end.
Yeah.
Fair play to you if you do.
Yeah.
But don't be like kind of looking down on me to be like, you don't sit in an ice bath.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
And I also can't help but think, how much do they cost?
Yeah.
And what's the value?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I haven't tried it. So I could be saying this, like, being all like,
yeah.
You don't knock it till you try it kind of thing. But it's that kind of like, the 5 a.m. club.
It's when it's rammed on you.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. It has been a lot more prevalent
this
year. I did start cold showers this year, earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. I hate cold showers.
Yeah.
But I say, I started cold showers, just like a certain amount of time, have a cold shower.
Yeah.
I'm like so minimal.
Yeah, no. So why would you save 3 minutes in that?
In an ice bath. Yeah. I know that you paid however much for, takes up a really...
I feel like it's one of those things like, you know those people who buy like Nintendo Switches or those kind of things? They're great. Like you'll use it once or twice, you'll never use it again.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah.
Or like the George Foreman.
Yeah, but it's really big in your garden.
Yeah.
It's like a really big few use thing.
Hmm.
On a movie.
So it's
good one,
yeah. Like, and then you find it, like that toasty machine, you find it, and then you'll have toasties for like months, and then it'll go away again.
Yeah.
But if it works for you, it works for you. But to be quite honest,
to be fair, everyone's got a cope. Everyone's got a coping way, but I like that one.
Yeah.
Niche.
Okay, so I want to dive into almost the low lights of 2023. It's been, for myself, probably one of the most difficult years I've ever experienced. It has took me to probably rock bottom multiple times, which has kind of made me appreciate the highs a lot more. So that is a positive that's come from it. There's a lot, obviously, I haven't spoken about on the show. Obviously, I haven't waffled on the podcast for, I think, for probably about 3 to 4 months, probably even longer than that. And in that time, it's been a series of unfortunate events that on a much bigger scale to what they usually are.
Yeah.
And this is why, one of the reasons why I'm quite grateful that you're here, because as much as those kind of things have kind of really almost destroyed me, like this year, I'm kind of ending the year on a bit of a positive that, okay, yes, it's kind of destroyed me this year, but what it has taught me is how powerful I am.
It hasn't destroyed you.
It has.
It hasn't. You're still here. And you...
Yeah, I'm like with salad tape.
But you fought through, because we all do eventually, but like you can't call it destroyed. It hasn't destroyed you. So I think I know a lot of the things, but if you want to share the things that have like crippled you, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's a lot, and you know, I need to apologize, to be fair, because I started this podcast from such a like a raw and kind of like honest place, and it was something that I needed at that time. I needed to talk, and then it kind of got to a stage where I was reeling off this content, posting these inspirational things like on Instagram and stuff that I desperately needed, but I wasn't implementing, and I got so lost in the guests on the show that I almost lost myself. Mm-hmm. I fell out of love with the podcast. And what's been very kind of apparent recently with everything that's kind of happened, all like the bad stuff, I didn't have that coping mechanism, which was me sitting behind a mic sharing that.
Yeah.
Like, because it was a weight lifted. Like, even now, like, I know for a fact, like, once that record button stopped, I know I'm going to feel better. Mm-hmm. It's a safe space. Like, and it's almost that reminder of just like how resilient we actually are. But yeah, if you said to me at the start of this year, like, you'd be homeless, you'd be like falling out with like 90% of your family, like in the position where like you don't know where to turn to, I think I probably would have kind of laughed in your face. I was like, no, things won't get that bad.
Yeah.
But it has. It's been incredibly tough. But like you said, like, which I'm going to take away, is like, it hasn't destroyed you. I think one of the biggest things it has taught me this year is that the universe, or whatever you want to label it as, will constantly send you a reminder until you take the lesson from it. And my environment for such a huge period of time has been the one thing that hasn't changed. I've watched, you know, my mom, my sister, my dad, my brother, like, leave like the family kind of home, and I haven't. I've been there like from day one. And I think it's the environment now that is the one thing kind of like holding me back. So yeah, it's been a big year, but I think there's a lot of lessons that have come from it.
What have you taken from it?
That I can trust myself, which is something that I never really kind of gave myself credit for, because it was, I think I put a lot of misplaced trust in people.
That's
not me taking shots at anyone. I think it's just part and parcel of life. You kind of, your circles change, you grow, people kind of grow, you know, circumstances change. But it's okay to change. It's okay, like, we're supposed to change.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's probably been one of the biggest lessons that I've took away from this year. But yeah, coming back to kind of the podcast element, like, I almost want to get back to that. That's why, obviously, we'll go into it towards like the end of the show, but 2024, like, we're going back to its roots. It's going back to why it started. And I feel like I kind of lost all that with the names that came on the show. I was focused very much on the guests, whereas what I was missing out on was these kind of raw emotional kind of conversations that built that toolkit for me to be able to share my story.
Then you gave it to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it got to a stage where I'd be getting messages saying like, oh, I've gone on to do this. Like, thank you for sharing this, I've done this, whilst I'm sat there kind of
still struggling.
Really struggling. And I don't think, apart from when everything happened with my mom, I don't think I've experienced mental health kind of the way that I have this year. Like, I threw myself into therapy for the first time properly, like, weekly. And to have someone on the other side of a table say, you are so close to a mental breakdown, is quite a hard pill to swallow, because I've just been running for 6 years, probably longer than that, almost on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And this year it kind of got to the point where if you don't stop, your body and your brain is going to stop this for you.
Yeah.
So again, it's the lesson there of, you can't do it all. You can't run at 100 miles an hour all the time.
It's a little bit scary. If you didn't have that therapist say that,
yeah,
you'd still be
running. 100%. Yeah. And there's still elements of it now, whereas now I have the accountability of someone who has only known me for a short period of time say, this is too much.
Yeah.
Whereas I've just kind of got on with it because I thought that's what I had to do. Like, I didn't have to live like that. Like, and I hope, you know, if anyone takes anything away from this episode, is the fact that you can do things to better yourself.
Yeah.
This doesn't have to be it. And it's okay to kind of want better.
Yeah. This was all in the matter of the last few weeks as well, wasn't it? It's like
week.
Recent.
Week.
Fresh.
Fresh as a daisy, this one.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for sharing that, because that's quite a bit of that I knew, but some of that I didn't. And I know how the waffle started, and it was you raw, open.
Yeah.
And you clearly have just gone through, well, it's like anything with creativity. You start with the purest intentions and it's raw, and then other people like it. So then you're almost like, people ask you to do things but you're doing your creativity for them,
yeah,
and not for you. And then along the way, you're like, ah, no, I want it to come back to why I did it and why I started it. That's a lot of creativity, and that's obviously what you've gone through. But as tough as all those things were, I'm no therapist, so I'm not trying to give you wisdom. But
what are you here for? What, I've just gave you 50.
I think if you were to write a list of all like the good things as well, and like kind of. So today after here, I meet my mate and we do annual goals.
Yeah.
So we set goals last year and we're going to set them for next year. But we look back at what we did this year. So that's where I'm going. And it's really important to do that, because if you don't, then you don't actually figure out what you've achieved last year. And this obviously podcast will do a bit of that as well. But then also what really went wrong, and then what did you do to overcome that?
Yeah.
And you've done things like therapy. You've never done that before. You've come back to what you want the waffle to be. You've... things that you've done with your family and your household and stuff like that, I don't really know the details of, but you're, I guess, shedding some of the bad stuff away and realise, like, do you know what, no, I'm...
I think it's the boundaries as well, and the kind of, like, the clarity from, like, these conversations. Like, I've never had the luxury of almost setting myself a goal. So it's having these kind of conversations now. I finally feel, for the first time, I'm sat at the table that I'm supposed to be sat at because I'm talking about goals. I'm talking about the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I've been so conditioned to deal with what is happening on that day.
Yeah.
Long term, I didn't think I had a chance.
Yeah. And that's why you're just running all the time, because you don't know what you're actually going to towards.
It's a powerful one. Powerful one. Yeah. And it's been very apparent, like, you know, I have these kind of conversations where I've spoke to people who work on mindset, like fitness coaches, all these kind of like people in their like their sectors, like they know their stuff. Mm. But what's been very, very apparent is the fact that the podcast for me is one of those healthy coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So I know when my mental health is dipping because I'm not looking after myself. I'm not eating the right foods. Yeah. I'm not going to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm not podcasting. And I know that sounds quite dramatic, but this podcast has been the biggest thing, like, and I say, I've said it in talks before, that it genuinely saved my life. And now I'm kind of at a stage again where I almost need saving again. So I need to kind of revisit the things that make me feel good, not look good. They make me feel good. And I think getting back to what the Waffle Shop stands for is going to help kind of get Taylor back to who I'm supposed to be.
It's not necessarily a podcast, because that's like a shell to what you're doing. You're talking.
Yeah.
You're talking to people you need to talk to, and that might be yourself. Whoa.
Yeah.
That was deep, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you're talking to yourself in a positive way, not so much like in your own head and giving yourself crap for the stuff that you don't think you've been doing very
well. To be fair, I need to kind of throw some kudos over, I think that's the word. I've been to a lot of networking and business things recently.
Kudos. Tired of that.
Yeah. It's honestly makes my skin crawl. But it works. So
yeah, it does.
But the reason why we kind of hit it off in a way that we did is obviously you created Let's Talk, which is just one of the most incredible, simple, like brave things that ever could have been created, especially from like a men's mental health point of view. And this, again, one of the reasons why I'm so grateful for the Waffle Shop is because I can have these kind of conversations and kind of, I guess, connect with people like yourself. For anyone who doesn't know what Let's Talk is,
yeah,
tell me about it.
Yeah, in what we're going to go through today, like, it is probably my the high point of this year.
Yeah,
I haven't really suffered with mental health or anything like that previously, and when it's mentioned to me, it's something like I never fully understood, because I haven't been able to access that. I don't know why. I've grown up with maybe a way of thinking that has just really helped me and supported me through tough times. But the birth of our daughter, she was born not breathing, which is unexpected because everything else in the pregnancy was fine. And she, I guess, had to have like what a newborn resuscitation would be. So from that point, it was like a catastrophe of small events. She got through that, and then she was put on all the wires and electrode type stuff. She was really small as well, so she was in the incubator. And then from there, she had a seizure the first night. Really weird experience. My best mate asked me to come over. Akasha was going to stay at the hospital, obviously, and be monitored. He wanted to celebrate, have a drink, but I never felt like I was truly out of the woods. So it was a really weird, like, moment to have a drink. And then she called me while I was there and said that she'd had a seizure. So I just went pale white and said, Vinny, I've got to go. And he's never seen me do anything like that before. So from there, for the next 3 days, she went over to intensive care at Coventry and was monitored. She had MRI and ECGs, all the like things. And she had like what felt like hundreds of wires on her. And I wrote every day, like almost like a journal, to put my feeling into onto something, get it out. And then after it, well, while I was there, I think it was maybe on the fourth or fifth day, a nurse came around and said that there's a place that the dads can go and talk at the chapel to just talk about kind of like what they're seeing and feeling on the other side of the hospital bed that the mom's on. I was like, wow, that's really good. But I wasn't there for it because we'd left at that time. So when I got back home, we had people come to the house and we was explaining the story. Me and Cash were quite open. So there wasn't really any details that we were missing. And then because we were working with a psychologist at the time in terms of like professional video production with her, I rang her and said, I've got an idea for just getting men to talk together. Because what I'm finding is that once I tell someone what happened to us, they're telling me things back that I didn't know about. So what it was teaching me is that vulnerability opens up vulnerability. So she was like, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. And we just went about it. Me, Richard and Suzanne formed a group of people that put their hands up to do it. We didn't really know exactly the format that it was sitting under, but we got it all filmed professionally, so it'd be ready for TV. They knew it was going to be filmed, but they were also really happy to share their stories to help other generations or other men. They didn't know how like big or small it would go, but it was one of those things that just do it. Just like it's a passion project. See what happens. See where it goes. I was toying with actually being on it, but then it was, I didn't want it to be like me. But what I was going to get from it was probably more in a like a professional production element. And those boys didn't know each other. They didn't have pre-relationships. So they had to kind of form a relationship on there. And we filmed over the course of about 9 months, 10 months. And we got 24 episodes that are just mind-blowingly powerful, covering topics like racism, suicide, addiction, family relationships, birth stories, which for men is a different type of topic. It's not something that is quite so mainstream. And lots of like nuances of things that men, we all relate to men in a pub not talking about feelings or wherever they are, is surface stuff, which is all fine. But we went for dinner as like a group of the guys from Let's Talk recently, and the level of conversation isn't surface.
Yeah.
It's a tell me how you really are. Even just a WhatsApp message is like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And you feel like you can open up automatically. And I'm part of that group now.
You created that group.
Like, which is mad. And when it all finished, the final session, I got home, had sat on the sofa, had a sandwich, I just cried. Like I sat down.
What was in the sandwich?
Yeah, it was a really emotional sandwich. It was really weird. And people like therapists would say this as well. You sit down or sat down and like a fuzzy feeling kind of just went all the way down my body and into my feet, like it left whatever it was. But like in the process of it going down, it went to my eyes, and that's when like my eyes started to go. And obviously with what your podcast is, a moment where I first fully broke down in terms of, no, second time I fully broke down with tears was a song came on when I was working out, and it was Chance the Rapper. So you wouldn't probably associate that with an emotional song, but the lyrics to it were, if I hear it now, even just like thinking about it now, it's a proper like wobbler. I was working out to come out of the garage, and I was just like, even now it's like there's those little moments, but the songs do it, don't they? Because they take you back to that place. And hit you when it doesn't, not meant to, really.
I'm a big Chance the Rapper fan.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I flew back from Thailand once to just go and see him.
He's sensational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounded really dramatic. I was coming home anyway. It just so happens.
I flew back
when when I was in London, he was playing.
Oh, mate, it'd be class to see live. Why tell men to talk?
Yeah.
Because we don't know how to. It'd be better to show them how to talk. Here's how six men around their 30s are able to talk to each other and what they get from it.
Yeah.
So we're showing the how with it all.
Which I think is the most important part to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like everyone can talk. Not everyone can talk. It's incredibly difficult at times.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know that from a personal point of view. But it's that, okay, how do I do that? How do I start those conversations? How do I articulate the way that I'm feeling? Obviously, the people, and from what I've seen around that kind of group, have all lived very, very different lifestyles.
Massively, yeah.
Almost at very different stages of their 30s. Yeah. And the way they articulate themselves, like in their unique way, like some of them I can't watch. That you know which one I'm talking about. There's one clip in particular that...
It's only like 15 seconds.
Yeah. It just kind of really grabs you and just think like, it cuts this is through why you
everything.
Talk. Yeah.
Yeah. That one cuts through everything. But you're right. The way that they all articulate themselves is obviously why they were confident enough to say, I can do that, is unbelievable. But not everyone can do that. And also what I think is really valuable is they might articulate something where they say things like, I don't know, or they're saying a lot of erms, or that might just be me. You've got a clinical psychologist there who's hosting it and guiding it. And she's like, no, let me stop you. You're saying that because you do know. You just don't want to get it out. You don't want to let it out. Whatever that might be, which might cause you to get more upset or let out an emotion that you don't really want to admit. And then they're like, fucking hell, you've seen straight through me.
Yeah.
Which for them is like a barrier. Mm-hmm. And they've all come through a barrier in some respect to that. So it's
been incredibly powerful.
Yeah, it has been. And I don't think I'll ever be more prouder of like an individual piece than that.
So this is how I know the time's right for me to start having these kind of conversations again, because I did lose it.
Yeah.
I did lose myself. I kind of lost my head and just like, I need to get back to the simple things. And one of the biggest things that changed my life was talking. So the fact now I'm connected with people who have that same vision, that same kind of vulnerability as me, and not necessarily obviously the same journey, but there's a space there to talk to and connect with these kind of people.
Yeah, it's huge.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You started this conversation with a question about your low points whilst we were filming Let's Talk, so the start of the year. So we did it January, February, March. I think we skipped April because of Easter. I think it was start of May, end of April, start of May. I couldn't afford the mortgage.
Yeah.
So we fortunate enough to own a home, and going full time, things were all okay because I'd saved up money and we were doing business, doing revenue. But what happened at the start of the year is that people were holding on to, as in clients were holding on to the money longer than I needed them to.
Yeah.
Because obviously we had our own cash flow situation that we were trying to work through. And the trend for our industry is that January to March is the quietest.
Yeah.
Or January to up to April. Basically, it kicks off again when the weather gets better. And I didn't have the foresight, really, because of doing it full time for a year since April, to know that that period was going to be the quietest. I remember ringing up my mom and just saying, like, this is, it was only like a few days loan just until the next payment came through, but it was like a humbling experience of, we actually had work on, and to the outside view, we were doing well because we were doing projects, but the up and down nature of cash flow meant that, well, yep, I need to.
But the key thing there is that you did reach out. Yeah. I know, obviously, money obviously is a very kind of like difficult thing to kind of reach out for, but considering what with the conversation we just kind of had, the key thing is you reached out there and kind of like, because I think it's a vulnerable place to be. It's a scary place to be
as well, isn't it?
Like, it is.
You've made this commitment and jump to do this, and now and parents try and protect you.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to do what you want to do, but do you have enough money?
Yeah.
It's always their protective nature.
Very different parent.
Yeah. And I am very, very lucky because that's, it wasn't like.
That wasn't a dig, by the
no,
way.
No, I know.
I'm,
but
I'm that peace with.
it's true though, because I don't want to be, I'm super grateful that they're in a position where they can help for that matter of a few days and then give it them straight back. And it's all like kind of done, but there's obviously many people that wouldn't have that. And then you've got to go into a debt or you miss that mortgage payment and then other things happen from that, and that fortunately didn't have to go down that way. But when you talk about low points, like that made me feel shit.
Yeah.
I was crying in the shower, like, because at the time my wife was on maternity leave.
Yeah.
And we had obviously a kid and a baby. And then it's like everything was on me financially at that time. And that was
which is a lot of pressure.
Oh, my shoulders were all over the place. So that's around this period, and obviously starting Let's Talk is when I realized, wow, like the whole mental side of keeping yourself fit, mentally fit, mental fitness, basically, you work out at the gym, you get bigger muscles, that's the aim, or you lose weight. If you don't talk enough or you don't do enough work on your mentality and your mindset, if you don't do enough work on it, when something bad happens, it will cripple you.
Yeah.
But if you keep working on it over time, something bad comes in, you know how to cope with it and deal with it. So, kind of managed to take a lot of that information and work through it
for
the following months. But overall, it's been a good year, but that was definitely a low.
Let's talk about highlights.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we're ending the year on a massive kind of high. For me personally, anyway. But no, you are as well. There's been a lot going on.
We all are.
We're all ended on a high. Obviously, this year saw the year of the podcast studio opening up.
Massive, yeah.
Which was a massive mental
kind
of thing.
Can't believe that was 2023.
It still makes me emotional now. Like, the fact that a few years ago, I was prepared to move to New York to do what I'm doing now, and not going ahead, almost feeling the shame, embarrassed, like, I went through a real kind of struggle to now be in a position to create other people's podcasts for them, but to have a team of people around me that want to see me win is insane.
Yeah.
And it's something that I haven't took for granted.
Yeah.
And I've never had a job before that I haven't kind of pulled a sickie.
Yeah. It's not a job, this, is it really?
Yeah. It's
in a polite way.
Like, yeah. It's been the first time. And I think this is why, again, it's a lesson that I'm taking from 2023, is the fact that these kind of opportunities do exist. You're allowed to have these opportunities. I used to be crippled with like the whole imposter syndrome kind of thing. Whereas this year, I think it's kind of the year of fact this year, because every kind of situation that I used to think that I can't do that or I don't deserve it, there's been an opportunity. There's been a studio opening. There's been a live show that's been like, you've made this happen.
Yeah.
So when those kind of feelings creep in, like, oh, I can't do that, it's like, well,
you already have.
I've done it. So prove me wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not from like an egotistical point of view, because there is no one that gives myself like me a hard time as much as I do. Yeah. I've also had Glastonbury.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You had a
very, very.
How did
very
you call that? Year. That was like a.
Like
epiphany?
A spiritual awakening.
My
therapist asked me literally last night, she said, because I said about at the moment, like, I just don't feel happy. Like, I miss feeling happy. I miss having like a laugh kind of thing. And she said, like, when was the last time that you felt happy? And my answer was Glastonbury. Because for those 5 days...
Carefree, wasn't it?
It was carefree. I struggled this year with my weight, with my relationship with food. For those 5 days, I wasn't looking at myself in the mirror. I wasn't worried about what I was eating. I was just there with some incredible people in a field listening to some of my favorite people sing. And it was just beautiful.
The bubble, wasn't it?
Yeah. Until you've been... I can't explain it.
Okay.
Because what it did for me from a personal level and even from a mental health point of view, it gave me like a real kind of high that I know isn't sustainable all the time, but it gave me like a glimpse of like, you're allowed to have these moments.
Yeah. And sometimes the most important thing about that is the awareness of how it feels and how you got there.
To be present.
Yeah. And then knowing... like how to get there again. Because it's important not to just like know you feel crap all the time. It's like, no. When you're presently happy, know that you're happy.
Yeah.
And know that you just pause in your head for a second. I've been off now for a few days. Sat on the sofa, Kaylin, 12 years old, sat down next to me and just cuddled into me. That was it. I was like, oh, wow. 12 years old.
That's all you need sometimes, though. That's just that little bit of a...
Yeah, and he did it again last night when we were all sat on the sofa and I was like, oh, we're watching MasterChef for like pigging out on chocolate calendars, whatever. Yeah. I was like, this is so... I'm so happy right now. And it's like nothing. when you realise that that's your happy moment, that's like a driver, isn't it? Like, I just need to have more of these because like you say, you can't be happy or like that peak happy all the time. That's a good high, though. Middle of the year as well.
Oh, and it was burning hot.
Yeah, well, a few days of summer.
Yeah.
It's always my birthday. I made the most of it. If I was to call out my high, a bit of a weird one, but I think I truly realised my self-belief, like you said
that's
earlier,
a big
about
one.
Trusting yourself. And I think it's because like I hit that like financial low. And I was like, the reason why I'm doing all of this is for X and Y. And then we had to make some big changes after that. But then in that process, it was very much like coming in externally, like, Luke, you've done this, you've built this. Like, it's all these things that sometimes you hear and you're just like, yep, whatever, compliments. But then when I actually really started to think about it, I was like, yes, I am. And I have done this and I can do it and I will do it. And then it just compounded over the course of this year to lead me to like the decision that I've told you about and how I'm ending this year. And I'm going to do it next year and going forward fully my way. And that feels liberating. And I didn't think I had a lack of self-belief before. But when I look back, I did, because you're a bit younger and you think that. There's so many things that other people know that you don't know. But then once you just start going with it and make decisions based on your gut and what you believe is right and correct, and then you look back on the work you've done throughout the course of this year or and before, you're like, I do know what I'm doing and it's working. So that's my big taker from this year. It's not like an individual high, but I think realizing your self-belief is, if you have it, then it's a bit of a
cheat code. I mean, we're like in our 30s now, and to kind of only now get to that point of feeling that, like, it's quite a powerful position to be in. It's a bit of an awakening to be like, ah, I am good enough. I can do this. What's 24? No,
2024,
that's the one. What's that looking like for you?
I think I tried to put it in words the other day on a post, but I didn't want it to come across a certain way, so it's like you just don't know what we're about to do.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. I don't know what we're about to do.
Yeah.
But I know it's going to be breakthrough.
Yeah.
In a big way. So it's not a specific thing. We're about to go on a journey together with podcasts and production and studios and stuff like that. That's exciting. We don't know where that's going to go, but we've got kind of a
But it's nice to kind of be ending the year rather than being at breakdown,
yeah,
being at breakthrough.
Yeah.
That's which good. I think is a real kind of exciting way to start a year.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it as well. And I've got another passion project that I'm working on, which I'll look to finish with summer next year. And yeah, just growth, just keep growing and getting better and being better. I think we've managed to attract some really good like people around us now as well, where values are being met and energy is being met.
Yeah.
And that's just like, it's just putting like little building blocks in place that are like continually making it better. Like every day is just exciting.
Next year is going to be the year I put myself first. I've seen glimmers of it this year that I need to start kind of respecting my own boundaries and kind of moving forward in a way that is comfortable for me. Like rather than kind of focusing on what I don't have and the kind of relationships that aren't where I need them to be, I'm going to focus on the relationships that deserve to be nurtured, time with people that kind of put a smile on my face, that want me to win, that are elevating me, rather than feeling like I'm kind of constantly put into a box. Because I think one of the things I've noticed since, again, from stopping talking, is that I've almost shrunk myself back into an older version of myself that ultimately I don't like. I feel like I've come so far, I've worked so hard to get to a point that I'm now almost becoming a little bit intimidating of what life could be like. And it's like, oh, okay, well, all these nice things are happening, but I feel like I'm, it's almost alien because I don't know how to kind of process positivity or happiness or all these kind of positive like feelings. Whereas now going into 2024, I'm like, if you want that kind of lifestyle and you want to feel like that, you're going to have to kind of do a little bit of work to get to that point.
Yeah.
So it is going to be a big year.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, from a studio point of view, we're now moving into a bigger, better studio. I'm getting the Waffle Shop back to where it needs to be, where I feel like it deserves to be. So I'm excited. Like it's a real kind of good feeling that I've got.
Yeah.
So for 2024. Yeah.
It's a let's go moment.
Yeah. Because I've kind of tired of feeling a certain way now.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what I need to do. I just need to start implementing it. We're talking about the year. We talk about music quite a lot on the show. There's been some absolute bangers this year. What songs have kind of soundtracked your 2023?
I think the standouts, Burna Boy.
Yeah.
His album was unbelievable. Rima.
Yeah.
And Water by Tyler recently.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just banged. Every time I hear it. And the Rima song, obviously went Calm Down.
Calm Down with
Standalone,
but then with Selena, it went boom, didn't it?
Because we're TikTok and everything like that, but it proper makes my hips go all over the place.
Yeah.
I'll show you one time. Or not.
She's here tonight.
But then the guilty pleasure was Harry Styles, As It Was.
Mm. Oh, I did see that on the notes.
Yeah.
I kind of skipped past that.
You cringed a bit.
I didn't cringe, and I'm not a music snob in the slightest. Like, Pitbull is probably heavily featured in my Spotify Wrapped every year, so I'm in no position to judge anyone. I just feel it's quite overrated.
Yeah, so, but for me, it's not, because I was going to say this as well. I don't listen to pop music.
Yeah.
So
my
algorithms are basically people that I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's based on the style of music. So Anderson .Paak, his style of music is basically me. And then I get given different artists and music based on that, and I love it that way. I love an algorithm. So when you said about songs for this year, I actually had to go into a pop hits for 2023 to see what was there. And I remember As It Was, because I don't listen to radio, I hadn't been overexposed to it. So every time it did come on, I was a feel good number, which I was definitely going to say, because I love an algorithm because of what Spotify brings to me. Same with my Instagram feed as well. but I'm not a radio listener. So it can get tiring, though.
It can.
Certain songs just get played.
But I do need to say, and this is kind of like the music nerd in me that comes out, one of my top listened to songs this year was Kylie Minogue, Padam, Padam, right? Not a huge Kylie fan, but like I respect who Kylie is. And I was genuinely, when I did like a bit of a kind of digging, like almost reinvented herself from one song that just went boom. And I couldn't help but like, I really respect that. Because the song doesn't even make sense. Like, I don't quite understand it. But the fact that it just went insane, and, you know, she's been around for quite a while
she
now.
Has.
And it's like, she still has that, like, people are still excited to hear that kind
still
of music.
Relevant. Yeah. Still hot as well.
Yeah. It's one of my, like, standout moments, I think.
What are your 2023?
But it's also quite overrated. But for me, I think one of the biggest standouts for me of 2023 has to be Fred Again.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yes.
What's so the tune?
I was talking about it, it's giving me like a chill. Yeah. Right? One of my biggest standout moments of 2023 is being at Glastonbury. The sun was setting. Fred Again was on stage, and there's a song called Billy, Loving Arms. And it was like a movie.
Yeah.
It was this most beautiful song that I'd heard in a very long time. And I just felt so present, almost emotional, that I was kind of experiencing hearing this song for one of the first times. The sun was setting. I was at Glastonbury. I've waited like 15 years to be there. And it was like, it almost felt perfect.
This is why.
Yeah. So that to me was like the standout moment of 2023 for me.
Great shout on Fred Again.
It's beautiful
this year.
Absolutely beautiful.
Worth saying as well, in 2023 I made a playlist called Winning, purely for when I smash something, like winning a new client or we've nailed a new production, the feedback's spot on. No, not quite that, but like having a really good moment, like and then getting in a car to drive home, I need a playlist to match what I feel to celebrate with it. So I made a playlist of like Kanye West College Dropout Levels, Jay-Z Black Album, Biggie. Noughties moments for me that I'm like, as soon as I hear that song, I'm like, drop everything.
Yeah.
Windows are down. This is up to the top. Even like Usher Confessions. Yeah. Like, I'm singing.
Oh, no, stop.
Well, no, we shared a few of those. Some of this, some of that.
Let it burn.
That playlist is perfect.
Oh, to be fair, speaking of songs,
it's time for Sing It, Sack It. Is it a hit or are they talking shit?
This is the part of the show which I absolutely love. It's called Sing It or Sack It. So basically, I'm going to read out some song lyrics from some of the biggest songs of the year. I think one of them is even from the previous year.
Yeah.
But I want to know if you would sing it as if like you would agree with it, or you're sacking it because it's just such a shite. But no beef. There's no disrespect.
People are like, be really bad at this.
I mean, I sing
wrong lyrics just so I can be part of it.
I know the first one, I think, is just batshit crazy, and I'm still trying to work out what it means.
Okay.
So the first one is by Taylor Swift. Obviously, massive. The song Antihero. The lyric goes, sometimes I feel like everybody is a sexy baby and I'm a monster on the hill.
No.
Sacking it.
What's a sexy baby? That sounds all sorts of wrong.
Yeah.
That's sackable.
I'm still trying to work it out. I just think, I feel like I kind of know what she's trying to say.
Yeah, I think I can.
In
as
terms
well.
Of, I feel like everyone else is doing well and looking a certain way and I'm a monster.
Yeah.
I kind of get it, but surely there was a better way than saying a sexy baby.
100%.
Yeah.
But I think we've just gone straight to literal baby. Unless you're thinking of like a, like you call your girlfriend, hey baby, like, unless she's going for that, but this still doesn't sound right.
No.
No.
Yeah, I feel a little
especially
bit...
for a UK guy saying it.
Yeah.
No.
Sexy baby.
Yeah. No, that's not a thing.
Yeah, so sacking it. Perfect. This one is actually quite close to my heart. For me, we're talking about like standouts. Fred Again obviously was one of them. The other one for me was a singer called Olivia Dean. She has the most probably one of the most exciting and freshest voices in the UK at this moment, in my opinion. Like, she's just incredible. And it's from a song called Dive. And the lyric goes, maybe it's the fact that every time I fall, I lose it all. But you got me from my head to my feet and I'm ready to dive. Are you singing it or are you sacking it?
Yeah, I'd sing that.
Yeah.
I'd probably sing that with Locker.
Yeah.
Is it a slow?
Yeah.
Slow song.
It's a bit of a kind of, it gets you in the feels, but yeah, it's almost like that kind of, you can bop to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can bop to
That's
it.
That's deep, isn't it? That,
yeah. Like, it's one of the things, it's like we talk about this all the long like, the time about lyrics, but been a soundtrack for me. Like, this is the first year I've allowed myself to be in a relationship. It's the first year that I've allowed myself to really be properly like present.
Yeah.
And it's a massive shout out to obviously my partner. It's a massive shout out to my friends, because I have fell a lot this year to the point where I didn't know if I had it in me to get back up.
Have you fallen in love?
You are.
Have you fallen in love?
I think I have. I think I am in love, but that's for a different episode. But they were always there. Like, when I did fall, like, it was those people that they were there and they got me back up. And it's kind of now going into a new year, I'm ready to dive.
All in.
Oh, what a way to wrap it up.
Beautiful.
It's as if I planned that.
Yeah. You did.
I actually didn't. I genuinely did not plan that.
I love
but it was
though.
Beautiful.
It was. Is that the last one?
Yeah.
I like that game.
For everyone who's been asking about Unfiltered and even the waffle shop coming back, like, I am coming back. I'm ready to come back. But this guy is coming along for the journey.
Can't wait. Honestly, when we were talking about it, but when it was like you said, I'd want to do this, I was, what a hero.
It's very narcissistic. I listened back to those episodes with Emma and I'm laughing. I can hear how much I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. So, and you still laugh listening back to it as well. Yeah.
So to go into next year with that to look forward to, with some of the most incredible guests, like, that I haven't even had to do any outreach.
Yeah.
People who want to be part of the journey, I'm excited.
Yeah. For the whole of this year, really, I've been thinking, I need to get back into it. So I was ready. I didn't know how I'd get back into it or what I'd be talking about. But then obviously this came about and it was like, yes.
Mm. Always mind when so someone says, like, I'm ready. Always remember that thing which Cheryl Cole did in The X Factor? She was like, when you're ready. And the X Factor contestant was like, I'm ready. And then Cheryl Cole goes, when you're ready. And she goes, the contestant goes, I'm ready.
Just kept going back and forth.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You sound ready.
Thank you. What a way to end.
Bring on 2024. So yeah, no, thank you for listening. Sorry it took a while for me to get back behind the mic, but I just wasn't ready. Co-host. But yeah, I've missed it and I'm back.
Do that bit again.
No, I'm gonna keep the spin.
You want to keep the spin? Fair play.
Keeping the spin. Yeah.
Thanks for having me and
bring on 2024.
Yeah, let's have it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.